Yes, folks, we're getting to that time of year. Holiday programming, holiday music, dance, theater. This is a very good city, Columbus is, for holiday music. And I'm Christopher Purdy. I'm not going to sing today, but I have invited to today's edition of All Sides Weekend three very eminent musicians and conductors to talk about the kinds of holiday programming you can expect to hear in the capital city in the next month or so. Beginning with Linda Hassler, who is Director of Choral Activities at Capital University and whose annual holiday program is one of the best I've ever seen. It'll knock you out of your chairs and get tickets fast because they go. They sell out. Robert Trocchia is the conductor of the Lancaster Chorale. He's been there for 28 years. He's been a very important part of music making in Central Ohio. And he's been a very important part of our own music in Mid-Ohio on 101 Classical 101, and I'm delighted. This is your debut thing, I think, too, actually coming in to talk with us. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And Ronald J. Jenkins is the music director, conductor of the Columbus Symphony Chorus and at First Congregational Church as well. So
community.
I always do that. I always do that. First Community Church as well. So is there such a thing as too much holiday programming?
Well, I don't think so. I'd have to look at my colleagues here, but no, this is the season of singing and especially singing. Christmas and choirs, they go together.
So if you didn't do a program, your choir members probably would have a problem with that, I would think.
They would wonder what happened.
Okay.
And I think we probably all feel really lucky that we're the ones that get to do it.
Yes.
Plan the programs and conduct them.
That's absolutely right.
Ronald, you are in charge. You're on stage for the Columbus Symphony Pops. You're also, of course, in charge of the entire program. And you just stopped short of being Santa Claus, although you could do that with a padded suit. I'm waiting for the day they ask me because they wouldn't need a padded suit for that. That's very popular. And you could do the same thing every year and people would love it, but you do vary it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the Columbus Symphony Pops.
Well, we've been doing it 31 years now, and it's sort of the one-stop shopping for your holiday music and dance and theater in one program. There's the Columbus Symphony Orchestra, it was fabulous. The chorus, the children's chorus, both choirs from the children's chorus, ballet dancers from children from Ballet Met. We have drama with a narrator and storytelling, so, and also audience singing along. But both classical music and sacred music, and then the holiday pop music also.
What works best?
A variety. Every year, my challenge is to try to plan a program that keeps the chorus and orchestra engaged and challenged while not going too far over the heads of an audience that's come for a Pops concert and to hear the traditional and songs that they want to hear. So that's a wonderful kind of balance. So this year particularly, we're doing a we always do something that's a cappella for the chorus in addition to
sung without accompaniment.
Right, right. In addition to Handel and new works by composers, we're doing the Healy Wheel, and I think Linda knows that piece really well, Three Kings on a poem of Lawrence Houseman. It's just a stunning piece. So there's the one very sacred moment in the first half, contrasting with a child coming out of the audience to conduct Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride.
Is that a competition?
No, we draw a name.
You draw a name and it's always a child?
It's someone between third grade and a senior in high school, and we've had some real winners.
Really?
I mean, just amazing children do that. Linda's seen the program because her daughter sang in the children's chorus for quite a while. It's always charming, and you just never know. And we throw a camera in so the entire audience gets to see them up on screen. It's that's a delightful part
of
the program.
You've got to get a gimmick, and that's a good one. That's terrific.
It's a very good one.
Robert Trocchia, your programs at the Lancaster Chorale have wonderful variety, and there's all kinds of composers that I've never heard of, and I'm supposed to know about these things. So I learn a great deal from your performances, and they're always terrific. Tell me how much work goes into deciding what you are going to sing for the holiday specifically.
That's the most work. That's the most time. And that's the thing about what I'm doing right now as opposed to when I was teaching. I have time to do that. And that's where I spend most of my day, is looking for composers. So easy. I'm glad that I'm working in this time with technology that allows you to talk with composers in other countries, receive their music in maybe manuscript form and kick it out on your printer. And so, yeah, that's a big part of it. And this particular concert that we're preparing for this season reflects that.
You're coming to Columbus for performances, right?
Yes, we are. We're doing a concert called A Chorale Christmas in Lancaster at St. Mary of the Assumption, which is basically our home performance place for our Westerman concert series. But we're bringing that concert the following week on December 7 to Lincoln Theater, which is a new venture, and we're producing ourselves there. We're not being sponsored or invited by anyone or anything like that. And so that's kind of fun.
That's a wonderful venue. I don't know if you've conducted in there before.
I have not.
But it's terrific, and it's really a good anchor for the community. To
It's beautiful, so, and I know everyone is there practically, and I wanted to go there for a long time, but I don't know what the acoustic will be. I know what it's like visually and how it'll work out, those types of things. But it'll be I'm sure it's going to be a very different acoustic from the earlier
right,
performance.
From the church, yes, yeah, certainly, because that church is lovely down in Lancaster. Yeah. Now, you are retiring. I understand this is your last season of 28 seasons at the helm of the Lancaster Chorale. You also had quite an extensive career in teaching in high school, I believe.
Yeah, I taught in the public schools for 49 years. Wow. And,
we were all saying how young he looks. I mean,
30 of those were simultaneously. I worked for OUL with an occasional class on the Athens campus. And the last 15 years, actually, I did the public school and OUL and the Chorale. And then the Chorale started to expand in scope, and I realized I couldn't do a decent job of everything. So one by one, I let everything else go and came to Chorale. It was the right decision because I can get up in the morning now and do the music I previously – or the research I previously referred to at my computer in my office in my PJs if I like with my second cup of coffee. And I don't have to shave and be any place at 7:15, you know.
That's why some of us love radio, you know.
Yeah. Oh, true. Very true.
Linda Hassler at Capital University. I want to play a little selection. It's actually one of my favorite hymns, and I don't hear it often enough, but you do it quite a lot. And then we'll come back and ask about your holiday presentation.
On December 5 and 24. On December 5 and 20, boom, boom, boom. For the love of us is given the Holy Infant Son of Man, of the Virgin Joseph's bride, to all the earth good will be tiding, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, Susa.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Very
piece.
Oh, they're talking shop now. I love this. You know, I mean, if we're lucky for good radio, they'll start fighting in a minute. But anyway, describe really the show that you do, because it is a little different. You have to look and listen around in Mace Hall, Mace Auditorium.
Yes, it is different. One of the ways that I like to describe this concert is really that it's an experience as much as it is a concert. So even with that piece you just played, what's maybe not readily apparent is the choirs are standing everywhere in the hall, in all of the aisles, on the main floor, and in the balcony, and on the stage. And we do a lot of that. So the audience is really literally embraced by the choral sound, and it becomes a very community feeling in the room when that happens. The concert developed, I used the model of a festival of nine lessons and carols.
All the heads are nodding now. Yes. Okay.
Yes. And that's a series of readings followed by carols and or anthems. And I've just took the liberty of loosening that up a bit. So the readings include some of the most well-known Bible passages about Christmas, but also poetry. Last year, our reader actually rapped, believe it
or
not.
Yes, she did. I was there. Yes.
Yes. And so with those readings, we can develop a theme that ties the music together. And in the midst of a vast variety of musical styles, last year, if you were there, you might remember the Bluegrass Mass, excerpts from that. But yet what's tying in is some central theme and idea. And we try to send our audience with that theme to live out and explore and discover in their holiday season.
Are all of you rehearsing holiday music, pardon me, in warm weather? I mean, are you starting like in September? Or?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. No, you don't know? No. Okay.
We just have six rehearsals, so we usually, over about a three-week period, we prepare a couple rehearsals.
Well, it's not like you don't know how to do it.
So. Oh, yeah, that's
at this
right.
Point.
But you know, Chris, may I say something?
Please.
Linda's the queen of theme. And what both of these people do that works so well is that they find a way to have this variety. We can become, as conductors, in love with the music and the sound and esoteric writing and all this. But if you create something that keeps the audience involved visually and keeps them alert and involved, it takes away from the static nature, which many choral presentations take on. And both the events you're referring to, Ron's program and Linda's program, exemplify that.
And, you know, you make a joyful noise, let's face it. And
yes.
I want to ask briefly about how one becomes a chorister and really what that entails, because there's a lot of amateur, meaning for love, not for money, singing going on, certainly in Central Ohio. But first, I want to hear a little music. This is Ronald Jenkins conducting the choir of the First Community Church in Dulce Jubilo. Music by Michael Praetorius. You haven't accidentally stumbled on a music program here, let me assure everyone. All Sides Weekend today is talking about holiday seasonal entertainment. Entertainment's a good word, yes? Is that okay? Entertainment? No one's going to get huffy if I say entertainment.
It's definitely one of the things that it is.
Because
yes.
You are all producing. There is visual also involved in everything, and there's a whole, as you said, that's an entire experience, Linda. You said that to us. That was Ronald J. Jenkins conducting at First Community Church, one of the many venues at which he is conductor. Ronald is also the brains, talent, and boss behind the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops, which has been an annual tradition for many years, deeply loved. I should also say that it's very hard to get tickets to any of these presentations from the three of you, so the minute they go on, grab them up, because these do sell very quickly. If you'd like to join the conversation or want to talk about holiday programming, what you'd like to hear, what you have enjoyed, 614-292-8513 is the number. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Talking with Ronald J. Jenkins, Linda Hassler, and Robert Trochia today. We're going to take a break back very quickly while you dial 292-8513. Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy here with Linda Hassler, who is Director of Choral Activities at Capital University, Ronald Jenkins from First Community Church and the Columbus Symphony Chorus. He is the conductor of both of them, and he is very much involved with the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops. And Robert Trochia, the Lancaster Chorale. This is his 28th season and, alas, final season as music director at Lancaster. Bob has had a career of about 50 years as a music maker, at least. And you say you're retiring. I suspect you'll be back on this program next year, having done something else. But we're delighted to have you with us. So we're talking about holiday offerings in Central Ohio. You want to really, you could do something every day, every night, from Thanksgiving onwards. And again, clearly, I always thought the audiences would diminish as you get closer to December 25th, and they don't. People are really flocking to that. And once in a great while, here on our other station, Classical 101, just to be cute, we'll play Christmas music in July, and people want more of it. You know, there are also people who say, oh, whatever. So what's your dream program, Ronald Jenkins? If money and things were no object for the holidays, what would you do?
Can I insert something here that you asked a moment ago?
Sure.
Also, you said when we get to start working on. When do we start working on this program? We started working on this program in October, simultaneously with a Copeland Dvorak program that we're doing the first week of January. So it's balancing it. But you well know why we couldn't start until October, because you were the MC of that very successful arts organization program entitled Twisted, which sold out four times at the end of September with Ballet Met and the Opera Company and the Columbus Symphony Chorus and the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. And people still talk about that. And you did such a great job on that.
You're very kind. But listen, that proved that there was a real hunger for the arts in this town, because right. they did sell out four performances. And it wasn't just one organization spotlight. The fact that the people involved, not me, put it together so brilliantly, that there is a lot of interest out there, more than really we can suspect. And I think there's some untapped interest out there. So, again, dream program. Bring them in.
I would love to be able to have an unlimited budget for using modern technology. I believe we have all the musical resources that we need. We have excellent singers and children, and the orchestra is superb. But we don't always have enough of the staging, and you have to work really hard, because I think, and Linda does it with the program at Capitol, keeping people around the audience. We do that somewhat also with the brass, moving the brass and the dancers and putting the children sometimes singing from the balcony, and Santa Claus makes his appearance from the balcony. But to have the technical resources, because we are a visual generation. And people just get bored if something isn't enticing their eye.
But the one challenge you might have is you have so many people on stage.
Right.
Have you thought of making more use of the theater? Is that possible or feasible?
Well,
speaking of the Ohio Theater now, but just
the natural acoustics of the theater of the Ohio Theater are not that great once you move out into the room. For the sound to be heard, you need to be on the stage, and particularly with the new shell, which is. We are all hoping is going to improve that situation dramatically. But once you move into the theater, it's very difficult. We have put children singing from there, and we've put adults singing from the balcony. But it is such a large room, almost 3,000 seats, that communication is difficult.
And Linda, did you start choreographing by necessity out into the theater because you needed the space?
Yes, that really is true. The early Christmas festivals were just the chapel choir and a small women's chorus. And as the program grew and more choirs became involved and brass quintet and then a variety of instrumentalists, part of it was stage space. But also Mace Hall is particularly suited because that's just 938 seats. There's an intimacy factor still that's so tappable in that hall. And so people say to me, as much as other things, they love having singers right next to them, and they love watching them move. So there's a pageantry that is really part of the expressive
content. Well, all your senses become involved, I think,
yes.
Which is a nice thing, too.
Yes.
And it's the same with both of you, because there is stuff going on, certainly. And Bob, you have, as I said before, a really great and interesting taste in repertoire. And do you do a lot of arrangements yourself?
No, I do not. That's not my talent. It takes me forever to do it. And when I finish, it's not good. So it's not worth the effort. I'm not very good at that.
What are you doing in Lancaster with the chorale when it's not Christmas?
Well, pretty much more of the same. Our season has evolved to where we have three concert series, which is the basis of our whole season, and call it the Westerman Concert Series. And we start in October, and that's a more serious program, a little bit heavier, if you will, program. And then Christmas gives you all kinds of – or holidays give you all kind of opportunities. And then in the spring, sometimes it's patriotic. It could be a tad lighter. It could be contemporary American composers or something like that. But we're not going to fight on here, because, as I told you before we came in, it's great to sit with these people. I've known these two colleagues and admired their work for decades, and we've never sat together before. Yeah. And it's been months and months and months since I've eyeballed one of the less attractive of the two other panelists, personally, but Ron Jenkins. But we talk frequently. But that's the only thing wrong with too much programming. We're always so busy, especially this time, that it's going to be very difficult for any of us to hear what the other one is doing.
Right.
But let me take where I was going with this. Different perspective on this. I understand what has to be done and how it has to be done to continue to attract people to listen to choral music and that. But I'm just in love with the sound. I'm in love with the pure choral sound, the pure a cappella choral sound. And I love composers who do a lot with that in different ways, not the time-tested ways. And so this being my last season, and I can't be fired for not doing it any other way, I pleased myself with this Christmas concert. And it is really a Christmas concert. It's mostly religious, sacred. It's pretty much living composers, people like Peter Warlock and his Bethlehem Down. He does more in four measures than a lot of composers do in their entire career harmonically. He's just a gift. It's Gesualdisch.
Yeah,
if you can use that word. And so I like that kind of stuff, and that's what we're doing on this program. That's my favorite. Now, I understand the other, and I love the sound of placing singers around different places in the hall and all that, but that's kind of a different perspective.
We're going to hear some music right now very briefly and come back, and then I want you each to sell it, okay? Let's get people coming to the concerts and the performances. This is a bit from the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus, conducted by Tim Sarsony. The Columbus Gay Men's Chorus, conducted by Tim Sarsony. We are sampling holiday music as it is performed in Central Ohio. On today's edition of All Sides Weekend, we have Ronald Jenkins here with the Columbus Symphony Pops, Linda Hassler, Capital University, and Robert Trochia, the Lancaster Chorale. All right, let me start with you, Linda. Sell it. When are these concerts? When are these performances? How do you get there?
Well, the concerts are December 4, 5, and 6. Those are 7:30 in the evening performances, and Sunday, December 7 at 3:30, Mace Hall, Capital University. There are a limited number of tickets available still that are available through the Kappa ticket office. As you've mentioned earlier in the show, I would hurry if I were anyone wanting to come to this concert. And we do have some obstructed view seats available through our Capitol.
Just like the Met. I love it.
Yeah. Yes. We decorate the stage with these beautiful poinsettias, which blocks the view. You can hear everything. And usually we can reseat people because inevitably with these performances, there are some no-shows and people are very courteous and they turn in their tickets. So I always encourage, never want to discourage. So if you hear that the concerts are sold out, they're almost sold out.
Call me up on the phone. Listen. Listen.
That's right. And what haven't I told you?
Give me a few titles. What are we going to be hearing? What should we expect?
Well, you know, interestingly, you're going to hear everything from Renaissance to 21st century, Latin, Spanish, Hebrew, Portuguese, English. You'll hear Bernstein, Britain, Victoria.
Are we going to swing it all?
Actually, yes. There is a movement from Robert Ray's Gospel Mass. It's featuring a soloist who is a former Capitol student. He's now doing that for a living. And it will rock the house. I'm really excited about having Jared back. And then really from there, of course, there's the O Holy Night, a beloved, cherished, and all the sing-along carols.
Do people sing along?
Oh, yes. We have about five or six carols where people sing along in the brass and the organ. And it's one of my favorite things. The roof is practically raised.
What do you do if people start singing along and they're not supposed to? Does that ever happen?
Smile.
You smile. Yeah.
Smile in a specific sort of way.
Yeah. Yes. Ronald Jenkins, the Columbus Symphony Pops doesn't really need to be sold, but do it anyway because there might be people who are new in town or haven't been before. I think Twisted, as you mentioned before, encouraged people to really come downtown and experience what goes on in the Ohio Theater. So they may be coming this year for the first time.
Well, the stage is beautifully decorated by William Davis and the technical director, Jason Gay, does some absolutely amazing things with lighting, as you well know. So there's dance there. There's the chorus there, the beautiful voices of the children's chorus. In addition to having, you know, Santa and Mrs. Claus make appearance and they sing at the end of the program, I'm always excited, you know, as a classical conductor by the things that we do in the first half. And we've developed a relationship with a composer in California by the name of Stephen Main, and he has consistently written some pieces for us. We're premiering a new work of his this year, Blessed Be That Maid Mary, with orchestra that has not been heard, I don't think, outside of California with orchestra at this point. He's really quite gifted. And we're lucky that we have an associate, actually, of Linda's, Craig Courtney, who wrote the Holiday Pops Overture that we do every year.
That's a favorite,
and, and a piece that Ruth and Dick McNeil commissioned Craig to write for us in 96. It's Lullabies of the Christ Child, and it's he uses several languages in the piece, but it's all the Away in the Manger. It's just beautiful. The concerts are at the gorgeous Ohio Theater on Friday evening, December 5 at 8 p.m., Saturday, December 6 at 8 p.m., and Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m.
You don't have to write this down. You're going to be hearing a lot more about with these dates. But basically, open your date books and X up just about every weekend between now and New Year's.
Oh. One more thing. If you bring a brand new toy, we are helping the firefighters for Toys for Kids. If you bring a toy to the performance, you will be given a free ticket to one of the Pops concerts on the lawn next summer.
Oh, that's terrific. Thank you for that. And Robert Trocchia, when you're at the Lincoln Theater, what are people going to be experiencing with you?
Well, they're going to hear some composers who, as I told you before, are my favorites. We're going to open, and we're not sure exactly where, because it'll be from on the concert that precedes that, from the rear of the sanctuary at St. Mary of the Assumption. But in the Lincoln, I think perhaps we'll do it from the wings, and it's Andrzej Kozyski's Jesu Parvole, and Dale Worland Library has the only copy of that music in this country, and it's a mysterious, ethereal piece. Then we come to the front, and we have a very brief piece, Bogorodice Devo by Arvo Pärt, probably the remaining best minimalist composer in the world. And then we're going immediately into a contemporary work by Ole Jalo, the Norwegian composer who's in New York City mostly now. I think it's called Serenity. It has violin. It's a very nice piece, and we're doing them together as one piece. And then we do another piece of Ole's later on, which is typical of what we're doing on the rest of the program. It's First Noel, which is a different setting of the, of that piece, and a couple of selections that we call Lullabies for the Christ Child or something like that by Peter Warlock. I talked about one of them earlier. Then we're actually premiering a song, a Christmas lullaby that my daughter Anne wrote. She's a budding writer. She's sung with us for a lot of years, and but she's not written, and she wrote this piece called Light of Love, and we're premiering that also. So they're going to hear some different things,
In the Lincoln Theater,
December 7th,
very
4
good.
P.M.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, we have a few minutes left, and I just wanted to ask you to have a group discussion about – so somebody is sitting at home listening to this, and, you know, I'd like to sing. I'd like to sing in a choir. What do they have to have or do or whatever? What are you looking for when you audition singers?
Want me to start that?
Sure.
Well, I'm lucky because we have, I think there are five choirs that maintain independent seasons in Lancaster. There's a community chorus that's very good. Clarence McCoy, one of our singers, conducts it. There are about 80 voices, and most communities the size of Lancaster would be pleased to have them. So if singers don't quite qualify for chorale, I can always recommend that. There's also a men's chorus that is active, much more successful financially than we are, and they pack their place. They sell out their dress rehearsal. And they're kind of like Linda's program.
So what are you looking for?
What I'm looking for is the timbre of the voice. And our auditions are 12 minutes, which is pretty short, but I know in 2 minutes if they can or can't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I'm looking for. And that's the first thing. Then if I see that they could sing, then I continue to see how well they can do it. If I see that they can't, I just
smile a lot.
Yeah. Smile a lot and finish the 12
minutes. You brought so much to this, except you're tone deaf, but thank you very much for coming in.
Not quite
it's
that
just
bad.
Great. How about the rest of you?
Well, I'm certainly also looking for, I think a basic is a modicum of talent, of, you know, an instrument that is workable and a good ear. If not trained, and they can't sight read, but their ear is great, and a willingness and a work ethic, I say I'll teach them to sing.
Terrific. That's wonderful. That's great. How about you, Ronald Jenkins?
Pitch.
Pitch?
Absolutely. Ear.
If you're out of tune, you're out, right?
Yeah, well, it's just because even if they can't sight read well, I mean, if these one of these people that can get it the second time, then that's actually better.
That's right.
Than an excellent voice that can't read and the pitches and all that good. And musicality. And finally, and you just have to sort of judge this from the feeling that you get in that 8 to 10 minutes. Are they going to be committed?
Yeah.
You know, because we're dealing with organizations in which, you know, if it's snowing, you still got to get to that rehearsal.
I want to thank the three of you for coming in today. Linda Hassler, Director of Choral Activities at Capital University. Ronald Jenkins at First Community Church and the Columbus Symphony Pops. He is the music director of the Columbus Symphony Chorus. Robert Trocchia, congratulations on 28 wonderful years with the Lancaster Symphony.
Bravo. Thank you.
Not to mention your other 30 or whatever years on top of that teaching. We wish you a long and healthy and successful retirement. And Robert Trocchia is conducting the Lancaster Chorale right now as we go out for 1 minute. With We Wish You a Merry Christmas. We are back. I'm welcoming two new guests to this segment of the program. We're talking about holiday programming in Central Ohio with Heather Garner, who is the founder of the New Albany Symphony Orchestra, now in its
seventh
season.
Yeah.
And Edward Liang is the artistic director of Ballet Met, and he has proven himself to be an incomparable part of Central Ohio's cultural life. And he taught me to dance, and I weigh 220 pounds, and I'm lying, okay? Welcome. Thank you for
Thank
being
you
here,
for
Edward.
Having
Thank
me.
You.
So, Edward Liang,
yes.
Holidays, that means Nutcracker. And now, be honest. Do your dancers by the 15th performance go, oh, if I see one more Sugar Plum Fairy, I'm gonna hit somebody?
I think this is the part of the business that any sort of dancer has to weather. It's a great exercise in being able to find something new for each performance. And, you know, this type of thinking and approach a lot of Broadway dancers have to do. They do.
You did that. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I don't even think that they think about that so much anymore. They know that Ballet Met and Nutcracker is so important to the community and to what we do in our rep that it is. And plus, we get to tour. We're going to Detroit next week for Nutcracker. So I think that this is something that they understand and they've come to enjoy.
You have the Columbus Symphony in the pit for all performances.
Yes.
You're at the Ohio Theater. When is opening night?
Opening night's December 12th at 7:30.
And how many performances?
There's going to be 16 here in Columbus.
When do you start rehearsing Nutcracker? Because it involves a lot of children.
Yes.
Which means it involves their parents.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And we all love parents, but, you know. Right.
We're really lucky. I mean, Ballet Met's been able to put the Nutcracker together. It's been a really great science now. It's really smooth and easy. There's over 150 academy students that are part of this production, and that's massive for any sort of school or company. But we start almost 2 months before. So we've been slowly doing some rehearsals, gathering auditions. So It's a massive undertaking.
This is music by Tchaikovsky, which did not begin life as a Christmas ballet, but came to be really adopted by that as the years went by. And we're going to hear a little bit of it now. And that's music from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker, the ballet that is a perennial favorite, and it's always wonderfully done by Ballet Met. Edward Liang is here as the artistic director of Ballet Met. It involves how many pairs of feet are on that? Do you even know?
I don't even know.
A lot of feet. A lot of shoes going on that show. That is really a destination for a lot of people in their holiday plans, and I hope it will continue that way as you hear it and see it in the Ohio Theater with the Columbus Symphony. Heather Garner, you actually, as a mother of two and as a full-time practicing musician, you got bored one day and sat down and said, why don't I found an orchestra? And you did. The New Albany Symphony. That's now in its seventh season at the McCoy Arts Center in New Albany. Mm-hmm. And you've always had some good holiday programming. So what's going on?
We do. We have what we call the Holiday Spectacular. And it happens every year around the third week of December. This year it's on December 21st at the McCoy Center. And we do a family-friendly program. It's about an hour and a half in length. Ticket prices are very reasonable. And we try and give a good variety of music. And we have a good time. Have a nice gift basket fundraiser in the lobby that happens before the program. And we try and involve quite a lot of people in the community and bring a lot of people in.
If you haven't been to the McCoy Arts Center in New Albany, check it out because it's a beautiful facility. And it looks and feels, at least to me, what do I know? I don't perform. it looks very comfortable and very, very nice. And it's a very pleasant, and it's an easy drive from Columbus to get there. But New Albany Symphony is now in its seventh season, and you began at a time when nobody had any money at all. Now, a few people may have some money, but really 7 years ago, it was tanked. It was pretty bad. But you yet continue. How did that happen?
We have a really great community in New Albany, very supportive community. We had a lot of in-kind happening the first few years. And as we've grown, we've grown our audience and grown our donor base, and we're selling out concerts every season. So,
how long did it take you from the idea to the first performance of the symphony, and what had to happen between point A and point B?
I guess I started planning when I heard the McCoy Center was going to be opened, right, and. You know, I was really excited for a hall to be in my community, and I think the symphony is the hub of a hall, and I knew that I could do something exciting there.
You're a violist, and so you're plugged into the musical community. You know musicians. It's probably
right.
You have a Rolodex, and you knew exactly who to call, probably.
Right. I thought a small concert series, orchestral series at the McCoy would be fabulous for the community. I do have colleagues, friends, musicians, of course, Luis Biava.
Conductor.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say it was easy to throw together an orchestra, but
but you did it. You did.
Yeah, we did it. We did it.
I think you're the only person I know who actually did that. You know, just
really?
Started from the kitchen table to now concerts, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, and all kinds of holiday concerts.
I'm sure there are more people that have done this.
Your concert is December 21st. That's a Sunday,
right?
At 4 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock in the McCoy Arts Center. Mm-hmm. Tickets are available now, mm-hmm. and really, I would think there's something. You're hitting every note. I mean, there's something for everybody in the program generally.
Yeah, one of the highlights every year, I think, is the student concerto winner. Mm. Yeah, we have a young cellist this year. Name is Paul Schubert from Enon, Ohio. And he's playing the Dvorak, the first movement of the Dvorak cello
concerto. How does that competition work?
Well, we have a competition every year. This year it happened in October. And we have kids from all over the state that come and audition. And we choose a winner every year, and every year they are featured on our holiday program.
Well, congratulations with that. And we have that, and we have Nutcracker going at the same time, but there are plenty of performances of Nutcracker, so you don't have to miss out at all. And are you doing another Nutcracker-related evening?
Yes.
Talk about that.
It's the last performance on the 27th, and it's at 7:30, and it's called Nutty Nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
And It's just a wild, fun, silly ride. It's zany. There's going to be local celebrities that come on. The Ohio marching band, OSU marching band might be there. There might be some weather newscasters on stage. Hopefully it's going to be a very interesting wild ride. We just really want to think outside the box and do something fun. So that I know that, you know, this is our 37th season of Nutcracker here in Columbus, and we just want to mix it up a little bit and have fun with it.
I have to say, you are a relative newcomer to the community as artistic director here, and you come to us with a background on Broadway, and I'm with the New York City Ballet and dancing all over the world. And I'm kind of a Luddite about dance, but even I've noticed that since you've been here, the profile of the ballet has elevated quite considerably here.
Thank you.
What are you doing? What are you doing right?
Well, I just thank you for that, Christopher. That's really, really kind, generous. Just really trying to work with everybody within the community, from the dancers. It really is about... It sounds kind of strange, but it's about the product, and the product comes first. What we give to the community, what we present, from the dancers to the ballets to the people that we collaborate with. And this is such an interesting time for Columbus. And, you know, Christopher, you were part of Twisted, and you see that there's so many artists and that are here based in Columbus, leaders that are really forging ahead. So I'm just taking it from everyone else. I'm just kind of with the whole wave of what's happening here in Columbus.
But I suspect there are a lot of potential audience members who, pardon the pun, are nervous about taking the first step. And I think that the two of you, the kind of personalities you have, the outgoing, really are going to help that. Don't be afraid. Come in and have fun with any of these productions with the New Albany Symphony and Ballet Met. And let me ask Heather to fill us in on the rest of your season. What's going on after the holidays?
Sure. In February, we have Shall We Dance, an American Salute. We're honoring veterans. It's going to be a Dancing with the Stars kind of setup where we have professional dancers dancing with community dancers on stage.
Do they have to be able to dance? I mean, or are you just, you know?
Are you offering to
become one of the community
dancers, Christopher?
No. You want to sell tickets for this baby? No.
So that's going to be a big band kind of concert, and again, we're going to be honoring veterans that day.
So you're not afraid to go outside the box? Seriously, you're not. You know, in programming.
No, we try to. To break barriers for sure, and really invite lots of different people into our audience, and then we also try and do some traditional type things as well. Like in April, we have a musical pairings concert that we are we're actually pairing wine, art, and music that evening. It's a Saturday night, April 11th at 8 o'clock. And we're featuring actually a couple of Columbus Symphony members as soloists on that program. And the big second half will be Daphnis and Chloe.
So, Ravel. Great. That's a rather erotic and wonderful afternoon of music. Congratulations for that. Edward, one of the nicest experiences I've had recently was in your performance space at Ballet Met in back of the building where I was seeing some new choreography and new to me, certainly, but I think new as well to most people. And those were packed, those performances.
Yes.
I had to lie to get in, and it was great. Stand at the back, and you know. How important? Let's talk about your choreography, which means that you plan the moves. You're like the director conductor in the dance. What of your choreography can we look forward to seeing?
We have later in the season, of course, right after Great Gatsby, Jimmy Arante's Great Gatsby, I do a world premiere Cinderella to Prokofiev. And then at the end, the last program is, I'm really, really proud of. It's taken a lot. Heather knows. And putting together any sort of program is a lot of work logistically. But it'll be the first time that Ballet Met or Columbus has seen a Jerome Robbins ballet, and it'd be fancy free, and it's Leonard Bernstein. Can't beat that.
Tell us about Jerome Robbins. Who was Jerome Robbins?
Jerome Robbins is the master, in my mind, an iconic up there with George Balanchine. I'm a little biased because he was able to do everything. He did Broadway. He did movies.
He did West Side Story, didn't he?
Yes, West Side Story, King and I. And I was lucky enough to work with him since I was 13. And he's been able to choreograph a number of ballets on me and the company. And
he has since passed away.
In 1998. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is that I think 2017-18, our 40th anniversary, is going to be his 50th anniversary of his choreography. So if I have that stats right. But we have that ballet. We also have a world premiere by me to Michael Torkey. And then we have James Kadelka coming back to do something from Caroline Shaw, Eight Voices. And it's a really quirky. It won the Pulitzer Prize last year, I think. And then, of course, David Nixon is going to come back and do something for Jimmy Arante's Swan Song. So it's a very, very special evening.
Jimmy being a very tall swan, he is the principal male dancer of Ballet Met for many years, is retiring this year. I know the story of Cinderella, I think. So if I know that story, is your ballet going to surprise me?
I hope so. I'm really wanting to go at it and not take any sort of liberties in people understanding the story. And in the prologue, in the very beginning, I would really like to tell the story of how Cinderella got there and going back in time a little bit, where she goes and, you know, her mother, some people take the story differently, but her parents were, their grave is right by a great tree. And she goes to pay respect. And at first she sees the shadow of this little girl running around the forest. And then she realizes that this little girl is her. And she reunites with her parents and has this patois. And that's how the story begins, on reflection upon year after year of going back to pay homage.
And that will be when?
This will open in the spring. I don't have the dates in front of me.
This is your choreography. Have you done the piece before? Or is this
no.
New? So it's this is a whole new
brand new world production
for Columbus. That's terrific. How many performances?
That will be 8 performances at the Capitol Theater.
Wonderful. Terrific. Heather, I'm wondering if there's a collaboration that could go on. Does the New Albany Symphony ever envision a guest gig in Columbus?
A guest gig?
Would the orchestra come and play in the Southern Theater is my question, or the Lincoln Theater?
You know, We love our home at the McCoy, and I don't know. I don't know.
And you don't really have to, you know, as I said, it's a very easy drive to go out there. It's not a big deal to enjoy the New Albany Symphony. Yeah. And that's December 21st is your holiday program.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is Santa Claus going to be there, or is he going to call? Or
Santa Claus will be there.
He will, okay.
He will. He'll make an appearance.
He's busy. He's going everywhere before
he
the big night.
Busy. Yeah. Actually, he's got a very booked schedule that day, so I'm hoping he gets there on time.
Okay, and Edward, I'm sure Santa Claus will be someplace at Ballet Met. He may not have to dance, but he'll be there and he'll look wonderful
as well. Absolutely.
Thank you both very much for talking to us about your holiday programming, the New Albany Symphony in its 7th season at the McCoy Arts Center in New Albany. December 21st is the day at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
Luis Biava is the conductor. And we also have Ballet Met's Nutcracker opening December 12th, I believe, at the Ohio Theater with the Columbus Symphony. Whose choreography, by the way, is this?
This is Gerard Charles.
Oh, yes, Gerard Charles, of course. Yes, your predecessor. All right.
Yes.
We still like him, but we love you. Don't worry about it. I thank you both for coming in today. I'm Christopher Purdy. Today's edition of All Sides has been All Sides Weekend has been talking about the arts in Central Ohio, specifically for holiday programming coming up. The All Sides staff includes producer Michael DeBonis, associate producer Amy Jurevich, assistant producer Rachel Quimby, production assistants from Karem Sheban, Jolie Friedman, and Mo Yao Chen, with video production by Rich Karsminski and Amber Karsminski. And I thank you all for joining us. If I don't talk to you before the holidays, enjoy, eat a lot, put your feet up, and then go to the ballet and the New Albany Symphony.